Are you ready for your glow up era? We are entering a new level on season 3 of the Soulful Coach podcast. So pull up a chair and let's get cozy as we dive into weekly episodes. We'll be talking all things money, manifestation, motherhood, of course, human design, and entrepreneurship. Join myself and special guests as we enter the most empowered, confident, and abundant era ever. Let's glow up together, baby. Welcome back to the Soulful Coach podcast. And today we have a special guest joining us. Welcome, Francois, to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy you're here. And I know so much about you. We're going to share an intro about who you are, but I would love for you to share with our audience who you are, how you got to where you are in your journey, and yeah, all the good stuff.
Oh, well, I don't know if where I'm at yet. I mean, where I'm at right now, because my journey's continuing right now. So I'm a registered psychotherapist qualifying. For those of you that don't know, the qualifying is just the final stages of the college requirements, but I am legally licensed and covered by insurances. I like to tell people that I'm really more of a cognitive environmentalist. And with that mindset, my theory is I like to establish the right environment for individuals to grow and blossom cognitively, emotionally, and physically. And that's really my approach to every session, whether it be with individuals, couples, families, teens, and even corporate counseling. So even in that teen dynamic, conflict resolution is really establishing what is the right environment, what's affecting the environment, and what needs to change. So it's a very personalized approach to individuals because it looks at what the person is. In a sense, if, you know, I look at the person for who they are, let's say if they are an apple tree, but they've been trying to grow oranges, it's never going to happen. So I really get them to accept the fact that you are an apple tree. So what can you make out of apples? And so there's a lot of that component.
I like that analogy.
Yeah. And I've used that a couple of times with some clients to get them understanding of my perspective, because imagine how frustrating you would be if society is expecting oranges from you, or these certain expectations of where you grew up or your family or what you have to come, but you don't feel that. So, you know, being able to say, okay, it's not working and it's frustrating you and it's creating that internal conflict because you're, you know, an apple tree. And it may be difficult to accept, but then accepting what everything that you can do being an apple tree, you know, there's applesauce and cider and pies and, you know, all of these things that would expand from that. But the main process would be the internal self-evaluation and the self-acceptance piece is huge and what do I mainly do.
So how did you get into this line of work?
Back in high school, I had two decisions, either be a movie producer or be a psychotherapist. And the psychotherapist one, I think I have that natural communication and connection with people that I can kind of connect with them in a deeper level. So yeah, that's where it kind of grew.
Those are very different levels of industry.
Yeah, I was also thinking one would probably be a little bit more constant in paying and sustaining me, where the other one's a little bit more risque. So that's the route that I wanted to go. And in my field, in the last 10 years, as you know, with my studies, I started working as an instructional therapist with individuals with autism, as in, you know, ABA, IBI in clinics. And I noticed that parents don't have a lot of support. A lot of the times I would, you know, give the kiddo back to the parent and the kiddo would change. Parents had no idea what to do. So I looked, there was nothing out there for them. My passion is to really service and support families with individuals with neurodivergency. And from there, I worked there for about 5 years. And then I went into the direct support field where I worked in group homes with adults and youth with disabilities and to get that firsthand experience. So one of the things that I want to that I'm trying to build on to as well is really that supportive factor for, parents and families. A lot of the industry has shifted a little bit more towards the parents now, where they realize parents need a little bit more of the coaching, but it's the family unit as well that needs that support. So that's one of the things that I'm working on and trying to develop and get into. So it's a little bit, no one else is doing it, or not a lot of people are. So it's a lot of people don't know, or a lot of some red tapes here and there. And that's kind of the areas to go into. And overall, I love to help people. My passion is to connect and let people really find out who they are. And that came from finding, working with individuals with neurodivergency. And that's where my name, the business Blossom Planted in the Right Environment, came from. When you see them in the right environment, they just grow. And that I apply that thought to everyone else, right? So there's a lot to learn from, individuals like that. So I apply that now to everyone else that I work with.
Yeah, I love that because you're right. There are certain people where you can do all the work, because I have done my own journey with therapy. And it's like you could do all the work and go back into that relationship. But if you're not understanding of certain things, it's not going to work. So I could see that struggle maybe for the parent. So is there something that you do like as like a family session then to help parents understand their children more?
Yeah, so I really like to look at the family unit as my client, not each individual. So I see the family almost as a person or as its own being, and I see how each individual can affect that unit, which then enlightens a little bit more as to what's going on. And that individual work that I mentioned, even though it's a family unit, it starts with the individual. Everything starts with us. How we feel, how we think, how we process, how we understand affects after how we interact with others, right? If we are feeling uncertain about ourselves, we then take criticism as an attack, or we take comments as, like they're trying to attack, or you take it personally, and then you take it the wrong way, and then you respond to that, and then becomes the cycle that you then say, oh, my family's not working out. But no, there's things internally, individually, for both parents, kids, and it's really being able to stop and accept who you are, where you are in that unit, and then being able to move forward from there.
Yeah, I like that that perspective because I remember when I was in my journey of therapy, and then I would go and say stuff to my parents and be like, why didn't you do this and why didn't you do that? And then I remember reading something later and I was like, you can't expect your people or your family to know everything that you've already learned. It's going to take time, especially if you're changing. It's not going to be an overnight expectation. So I don't know if you can speak to that too, if there's someone that's not understanding that.
Yeah, for sure. And you touched on a good point. Is there's two points on this aspect, on the sense of control and not control, which I can get to. But the other aspect is what you're learning and understanding is different from, let's say, family members, because it's also a generational effect, right? Growing up now, millennials and down, they're really open to mental health and speaking about things and being open. Whereas, things before or generations before, it was a different concept. It was, you kind of don't mention things, it's resolved, it's over. And so just because it wasn't dealt with, there was a different mindset. So you have to be able to understand that when you speak with family members, their perspective, right? Where they are, where their mentality is. And the bottom line that I tell a lot of people with therapy that I always say, I'm not here to change you. Now, a lot of people think that therapy is there to change who they are. Therapy is really there for you to accept who you are.
Yes.
and learn about who you are. So that's really the work for therapy. And when you really understand that, you really are able to gain, and it changes your perspective for then appreciating everyone else for how they are and who they are, right? That unique perspective. And this connects to the point of control and not a control. We focus, and I say we because it's a society, and I include myself in there sometimes, where we think and we get frustrated so much and anxious on the things that we cannot control.
It's very
This is
true.
a, it's this huge circle. There's these huge circles that things that we can't control. We can't control the weather. We can't control traffic. We can't control anyone else. That's a big emphasis. We cannot control others. And when you look then and you start to close, okay, well, what can I? People might be listening and say, well, what can I control? Well, I ask you, what can you control really? Right. And then if you look and say, well, I can only really control me. And even that to a certain degree, you can only control your reactions, your responses, how you handle certain things, how you respond to things. That's the only thing you can control. Right. Other than that, everything else is outside of your control. And so being able to understand that concept in itself, the anxiety meter completely changes because it's like trying to open a wall. You just won't be able to do it, right? It is just,
I love your perspective, your like metaphors, they're the best.
it's like trying to knock on a wall to open. Well, you can't, right? That's not your perspective of things. So if we establish and actually say, you know what, that's out of my control, and that step back, you're letting go of so much tension, so much resentment, so much anger, so much of the things that are kind of holding us back sometimes. There's a line in between, which is influence. We can influence things to a certain point, but again, that's not control, right? And as parents that may be listening to this, or business owners, you can't control everything at one point. You kind of have to let your business be as your business is sometimes. You can't control every aspect of your employees. You can't control your kids. And that's where there's conflict sometimes because you want kids to do things a certain way and how you want, but you forget that they have perspectives, they have ideas. And, so those are things to explore and to look into, right? And that we'll look into a lot deeper within therapy and within sessions, but that's kind of the groundwork, where to start and where to do things.
Yeah, I've done that practice with clients before too, where it's, what is in our control, and we it because working with my clients with like money mindset and different types of things like that, and it's very true. We are worried about certain things, but we can't that you can't change it. It like you said, it's trying to get through that wall. So I love that analogy. I'm also thinking too, like I know the benefits of psychotherapy or working with like a therapist. What do you think like the three main benefits that you feel for someone to work with you? Or a psychotherapist in general.
Yeah, so the thing is, each therapist is different and unique, and that's something for people to be mindful of, that not therapy is the same. If a therapist is not working for you or whatnot, there are so many out there that have different approaches and for what you're looking for and different techniques to keep in mind. Really, number one, therapy is really for you. No one else but for you. It's what you want to get out of therapy, right? So therapy is really almost like a tool, let's say a hammer, and then it's what you build with that hammer or how you utilize that tool. It's not just a hit a nail on the head, because you can use other methods for that. It's just a tool for you to recognize who you are, your situation, and have a better understanding and handle of your life or your situation. And that's where it comes back to, it's not there to change you. It's there to really help understand who you are, and your perspective and why you think things a certain way. It's really there to explore more of that deeper roots of who you are, right? So those are the kind of the main points within therapy, is really for you to embrace it and get out of it as much as you can. There's people sometimes that don't say much, and I get it. There's times where it's difficult topics, but then it kind of you're limiting yourself to the time, because many people are limited by funds if they're insurance, limited by time. You only have so much time in a week or an hour. So it's really how you get the most out of that time that you're investing in yourself. It's really a self-investment aspect. So that's kind of the main points that I see with therapy. If anybody's ever thinking or know of anybody that's thinking, these are ways that you can kind of help people reach out to that.
I do like that too, because when I first got into it 5 years ago, I thought my mindset, and I feel like a lot of people's mindset is like this, that you only go to therapy if you have a problem, or it's taboo, like you go because you got to deal with the things. But I love your perspective on dealing with you, because now I go because it's a non-negotiable, and it does change your life, and it does make you look at things differently, and it's doing that inner work. And I think we don't think it's that. I think at first we think it's okay, we have a problem, that's how we go to therapy, or this big life thing happened, and that's how we go to therapy. So I like that perspective for people that maybe cannot afford it, or maybe they're just not there yet. What are some things that they could do to help themselves, like you say, like work on you?
Oh, that's a good one. I mean, there are many resources out there. A lot of it falls on psychoeducational, which is just basic kind of understanding and mindset and skills. Those are free. There's unlimited of those in online, any platform that you choose to do, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Google, any of these aspects, you can search, ways to handle stress, ways to handle certain anxiety, and it'll give you certain tools and perspectives that you can start to utilize. I think for people that can't, it's really a way to just start exploring yourself. Really have the sense of, what do I want to do? What a lot of the practice that I start off with is a sense of having a connection with who you are. Right, who you really are and what you really want to do. So, for instance, I would, say, okay, what does Elise want to do? And when you hear yourself in that third person, all of a sudden it creates a almost like a different, there's a bit of separation. Okay, who is Elise? What does she want to do? And if you describe yourself in the third person and list how you describe yourself to somebody else as if you were a friend, or you were a friend to someone, and you describe yourself with I, they're completely different lists sometimes.
That's true. I
And
like that.
so thinking of, those types of ways and mindsets, on mine is, how do I value? Where is my value and where is my worth? And that leads sometimes to burnout, because people are giving, 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 and they're in conflict with themselves because they're not getting that internal essence of who they are. So there's that conflict of, hey, wait a minute, what about me? Like, you left me out. And like a kid, like a little kid having a tantrum, all these emotions are gonna come up to say, hey, listen to me. Oh, you're ignoring me. And listen to me. So just the simple acceptance of, I'm feeling angry right now, but it's okay to feel angry, right? It's okay to feel and think how I am, because it's part of who I am, is the basics where people can kind of start and go. There's a lot of resources. Ontario 211 is a great resource. You available 24/7, and they can help financially. They can help not just in mental health. They can give you resources, whether it's food banks, whether it's housing. They honestly, you talk to that one person and you get a whole bunch of things that can help, right? Which go beyond the mental health, right? If you're stressed about your finances, you're stressed about, let's say, food or anything else, they can give you those tools that can help you, and now you're not as stressed. Which, and they also do have local areas and services that you can utilize. Unfortunately, there is sometimes a wait list of things that kind of happen. checking with your library. There's some programs sometimes with libraries, or libraries have connections. It's, speaking with your employers. There's so many employers that have EAP programs now that offer a little bit of help. So those are ways and other tools and resources that people can utilize.
Yeah, I love that because I think initially we to even start the therapy, that can feel uncomfortable because then it's acknowledging that maybe you do want to work on yourself, and then it's the investment. And I think people do hold themselves back where they would easily go on a shopping spree, but to spend that. And so one thing I always say is that I feel like it was the best investment just to like work on yourself to understand yourself better. And now when things happen, I'm just in my head, I'm like, okay, that's just something they need to work on, and it's not wrong or right, or you know what I mean? Like, so that perspective comes in too.
Yeah, and those are things that just really works on the sense of where am I and where do I want to be, right? Where am I? Where do I want to be? And a lot of the times people come when they're in crisis, and the crisis comes when they ignore the situation, they suppress those emotions, they ignored it, and all of a sudden they're at the point where they can't b take it anymore, and they're breaking, and that's when they come. Therapy, you can come at any point in your life. It doesn't need to be long term. It could be a short term. Hey, I'm changing. I just had this. What are recommendations? People come and go, different therapists for different things. It doesn't need to be so much of, oh, I'm not in crisis. Therapy's not for me. I hear that all the time. Yeah, what you do is great, and there must be so much need, but it's not for me. And then sometimes just in a simple conversation, you can get to, oh yeah, I used to, oh, this happened to me, or how did you cope with that? I just kind of let it be. Well, you're not really handling that situation. It's just understanding it to then understand when I get angry, I know why I'm getting angry. I know why I'm upset. What I now know also the tools of how to calm myself and regulate myself. And so now you're able to move on. So you don't see that anger now as a, oh, great, I'm angry, or fear of anger, right? That we sometimes have. And yeah, it's really accepting where you are in this. And I keep saying that because it's kind of the essence of where things go with therapy, is really valuing yourself. In essence, that's why there's banks, right? Why do you put your money in a bank? Because you value it. When it comes through a paycheck, you could, why don't you just have it cash? Because you have it in a bank. You want to let it grow interest. You want to let it grow. If you have jewelry, you put it in a safety deposit box or in a safe. So you do things to protect it. And I don't mean to just store it away, but you find whatever the value is, you utilize, and you want to protect that value. When you think of yourself that way, it changes everything. And how you interact with everyone and kind of go through life as well.
And I think too, there's a piece where, like you said, and until someone has had the full-on meltdown or the breakout or like the breakdown or something's happened, that's when they think they should go. But I think we see burnout way earlier than that. So what are some telling signs of burnout that you see?
It starts with sometimes a lot of the self-criticism, a lot of the self, I can't do this, self-blame, kind of those negative self-narratives that you start to have. You start saying a lot of, I can't with this, oh, I can't with that anymore, huffing and puffing. It's a lot of, kind of mumbling under your breath because you're just always going or tense. There's also the sense of withdrawal. Things that interest you are no longer interesting, or you don't make the time for them anymore because they've lost their bit of value. You withdraw yourself from friends, socials. You find yourself, you know what, I don't want to go out. I don't have the, I'm too tired to go out. I don't have the energy to go out or see anybody. And sometimes if you're a little bit more introverted, you can seem, oh, I'm going to charge. But if you're withdrawing more than your normal self, is something that can be a sign. sleep disturbances and sleep deprivation. You're not sleeping as well. There's sometimes you're craving comfort foods, so there's a little bit of neglecting self-care. You're not, doing your hair or makeup or dress as much. You're kind of just, doesn't matter. So these are kind of signs that you're burning out, right? You're almost in running on fumes at this point when things get to these points. Easily irritable, little things kind of get on your nerves. And so these are things to be in mind and to keep in mind, especially as parents and business owners, because then that reflects onto our kids, that reflects onto our employees and coworkers as well. And then it become and then we are starting to affect and create a toxic environment for others, and we begin to burn them out as well. So it's those kind of aspects, right, that kind of keep in mind. And if you're feeling that way, that's when it's nice to maybe, hey, maybe I should talk to somebody. Maybe I am feeling burned out or not. Ways around it is exercise, eating, diet has a huge effect on how we feel. And so those are kind of the points to look into and be able to then work within yourself.
And if someone like is listening to this right now and they're like, wow, I check all those boxes and they're really on the fence, what do you think is like the one thing that you would say for them to be like, this is okay for you to do? Because I think that's another thing. It's that internal validation that it's okay for them to get help and it's not out of the norm or they're seen as, there's something wrong with them.
Yeah, I think the number one thing to do is a consultation. Consultation, consultation. Many, if not every therapist out there offers a consultation, complimentary consultation. So just calling and saying, hey, I'm working with this. I'm, dealing with this aspect. I'm feeling anxious sometimes. I'm not feeling myself of who I am is really when to go. And then you can start to explore the right way. But it also gets you to and accept the fact of, oh, maybe talking to somebody or the idea of looking for workshops nearby. Again, there's many workshops sometimes online, there's webinars. So being able to start to see, oh, wow, they had something to influence me, they had some value that you can explore a little bit more is really just, okay, let's see what it is. Let me just do a consultation and or just the self-reflection of, you know what? It's really the point when you start thinking that everyone else needs to fix their problems so that your life is fixed, is when you should stop and realize and say, maybe I should go in for a tune-up myself before I start seeing that way.
I laugh
And
because I hear so many times people say things, and I thought, oh, if you were just to go and talk about what's going on instead of blaming, like that's another huge thing.
yeah, and the blame comes from the self projection of who we are into others, right? So we're uncomfortable with ourselves, but it's easier to say, oh, they're uncomfortable with me or they're treating me this way. And it's easier to victimize
For sure.
because then you're not accepting. You want to ignore it. You're turning away from that. But it becomes a habit where now we are looking in this world with these tinted glasses and these dirty glasses smudged. You're gonna, look around and say, why is everything so blurry? Or why is everything so dark when it's really your glasses or your shades that are, if you're wearing sunglasses inside and you're telling people like it's so dark, change the light bulbs, turn the lights on and everything, and it's not working. Well, maybe if you stopped and looked in the mirror, you realize, oh shoot, I forgot to take my sunglasses off, which can then give you the, oh wow, everything's so much brighter inside. Right? It's that self-perception and the self point of view that affects now everything else in the environment. So it's one of the ways to look into and to start exploring who you are and what you want in life.
Yeah, I love that. So for someone that maybe wants to work with you, are you taking on new clients and where can they find you online or how do they get in touch with you?
Yes, so I service and I'm working through Aurora, Newmarket, and Berry. So they can find me on my website, blossomlives.org, or you can Google me at Francois Jome. You'll be able to find the different locations. My website has the different locations and ways to book. Again, you can always find a consultation. You can also follow me on Instagram at Blossom Lives underscore lives. Sorry, Blossom underscore lives. And I try to post little reels and tips and post on, things that we've kind of talked about that give you that little bit of insight, information, ways to practice, and sometimes a little creative ways of how to see. I try to visualize my analogies as much as I can.
I always love them. I'm like
And
resharing them. I'm like, this was so smart. And or I learned this like 3 years ago. I'll like share it with my friends and they'll be like,
that's
okay.
great. No, I love it. And so those are ways you can kind of get engaged and get and follow through. So Francois Jome and Blossom Lives is really the name to look into and go. You can find it in any platform. I think yes, I started TikTok too
Oh, look at
recently, so you
you.
can.
That's awesome.
I think I'm out of YouTube. I'm not on YouTube or Twitter yet, but right now is Instagram. You can find my website, Blossom Lives, and then it connects you to everything else.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all your insights. I think there was many gold nuggets within this episode that I think people will resonate with.
Thank you. I loved the opportunity. Thank you so much. Great honor for first podcast to be in.
Yay.
So I appreciate the opportunity. And if people are interested and want certain topics that they would want to know, I'm sure they can contact you and we can do another one on specific
For sure.
aspects or deeper with some of the nuggets that we talked about. We
Yeah.
can kind of make a golden bar out of it eventually too. There's
Yeah.
so much. Every aspect is a fountain that keeps giving. So we could be here all day and all
Yeah, there's
nonstop.
like a little section I can put like a Q&A. So if there's some there, we can do that and do a part two. So yeah, thank you very much.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me.
If you loved today's episode and it truly resonated with you, please share on social media and tag me at The Soulful and Social Coach on Instagram or share a review on Apple or Spotify. As you know, coming from a small business owner, every review or testimonial means the world to us. Sharing is caring, and we will see you all next week.